You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Boom. Welcome to the CLNS Media Celtics postgame, brought to you here on Blog Talk Radio and always uploaded as a podcast immediately following the broadcast on iTunes or wherever you digest, whether it be Stitcher or wherever. But you can find us, Celtics postgame. Tonight, your Boston Celtics threw down a 112-93 Heat beat at the TD Garden. Celtics move to 15-5. Heat fall to 15-6. Great game all around. A couple of storylines we'll be touching on. Tonight, I am going to be joined by the great Joel Pavon and a special guest that we'll bring in during the course of the show. But right off the top, let's talk about our old friend Kelly Olynyk shooting and showing back up here in the Boston Garden tonight. It was nice to see him, so to speak. I mean, I'm not a huge Kelly Olynyk guy, but he did throw down 12 points. He was in double digits. Didn't really have the three-pointer shot going for him tonight. I think he was 1-for-5 from behind the arc. Made all of his free throws. Good game by Kelly Olynyk. Anytime a former Celtics comes into the Garden, it's always good to give a little shout out and a heads up, but let's not bury the lead here, folks. The story of this game for the Miami Heat was the play of one Jimmy Butler, who I have to imagine that other teams view Jimmy Butler like other NHL teams view a Brad Marchand or view a Marcus Smart. He's an agitator with the pure scorer's ability. I'm not a huge fan of Jimmy Butler. You know, he's slightly traveled now throughout the NBA, but I cannot take away from his all-around phenomenal scoring ability with the ball. And tonight was no exception. Jimmy Butler had himself a game and a half. He went 12-for-18 from the field, 6-for-10 from behind the arc, and was doing Jimmy Butler things. I mean, he had 6 rebounds, 4 on the defensive glass, 2 on the offensive glass, 4 assists, 2 steals. And I'll tell you, the telltale sign of a Jimmy Butler type of night is just watch the refs. One of Jimmy Butler's untapped resources is his ability to flop, his ability to get into the head of his defender, and the ability to still complete the shot after taking contact. And I think tonight it was clear as clear gets. Jimmy Butler had himself a game and a half, unfortunately on the losing end, which was wonderful to see. Again, your Boston Celtics 112, Miami Heat 93 from the TD Garden. Now on the Boston side of the fence, let's talk about Jaylen MF Brown. Jaylen had himself a game and a half tonight, 31 points. But the story is 20 shots taken, 10 shots made, 9 3-pointers attempted, 5 3-pointers made. Dude was on fire, not just offensively, but defensively. Jaylen Brown had himself a game and a half. Now I'm looking at my call screen and I noticed 2 very familiar numbers up there. I'm going to have to go to the first one right off the bat because I do believe that that is my co-host. Joel, what'd you see tonight, my man? And that was not my guy, but I do see another name that is super familiar to me. Anytime I have the ability to get on the CLNS Media Celtics postgame live, I always want to make sure that I mention this guy, bring him in. He is probably the most knowledgeable Celtics fan, analyst, and guy from South Florida that I really like. So without any further ado, Nick, what's happening, my man?
Joe Show. It's the Joe Show tonight. What about those Celtics?
Oh, my goodness, huh?
Loved what I saw. Didn't catch the entire game, but I mean, you mentioned JMF Brown. You know that I am one of the biggest Jaylen Brown boosters, Jaylen Brown fans, Jaylen Brown whatever you want to call it, Jaylen Brown groupies. I'll own that. Dude is just nasty. One of the last shots that he hit, that bank 3-pointer where everything was
in
for him. It reminded me of that Paul Pierce moment where, you know, they asked him, did you call bank? And Paul Pierce said, I call it game. Well, of course, the game wasn't anywhere near close, so Jaylen Brown had no reason to call game. The game was already well in hand. But it just goes to show you, this guy is so talented, and he's so improved this season. I think that and this is no disrespect to Kemba Walker and no disrespect to Jason Tatum. Kemba Walker had a fantastic game tonight, 28, points on 9 of 17 shooting, which is actually a better percentage, than Jaylen Brown. Kemba Walker does his thing. I think Kemba Walker, in most games, comes through with baskets. Even if he doesn't have a great night, he'll come through and hit the baskets when they're needed, when they're important. But Jaylen Brown, the improvement from this kid on both sides of the ball, he's already locked up. The only thing the Celtics need to do is lock up Jason Tatum next season and extend him the same way they did Jaylen Brown. And this team has dynasty written on it because they have Kemba Walker for 4 years also. And I know Kemba Walker's 29 years old. I mean, wait till Gordon Hayward comes back. Is that even a good thing? I mean, you got Jaylen Brown playing, so of course it's a good thing. But I mean, part of what's going on here is you have Jaylen Brown with basically free reign to do what he needs to do. He led the team in minutes along with Jason Tatum, 34 minutes tonight, and he's basically able to play the role that he would naturally play if this team didn't have such an abundance of versatile wing players. And Jaylen Brown, just a fantastic – his moves are nasty. I saw something – I'll end my little diatribe here, my monologue here. I saw something on Facebook. It was posted by in the end of November, but it was an analysis of the Celtics' secret weapon, and it was basically all about Jaylen Brown and how Jaylen Brown has improved in his offensive output, on his output on fast breaks, basically a complete breakdown of how Jaylen Brown has improved this season over last. I'll try to look it up and find it for you, and you can throw it back to me maybe sometime later on in the show after you get a hold of Joe Sway. But Jaylen Brown is the real deal, folks. This kid is the real deal. He is aggressive. He's strong. They dropped an inch off of his height, maybe because he cut his hair. He's down to 6'6", but whatever. It doesn't matter. He is a talent that I think any NBA team would love to have, and I think everybody, if Jaylen Brown could, and I don't want to, get ahead of myself because, of course, there are ups and downs, and this has to be maintained for an entire season, and he has to keep playing this way. I'm not saying he has to score 30-odd points every night out, but we need to see a full season of him doing stuff like this before we can put him in that category. But a lot of people that we're talking about should have traded Jaylen Brown or, whoever else for somebody else, are looking mighty foolish right now because Jaylen Brown is legit. Jaylen Brown is legit.
Absolutely. And I'll sum that entire – and I agree with everything you said. I mean, I, as we all know, I was hard on him last year. I don't plan on being as hard because I'm seeing so many different improvements. But the best way to sum it up in a quick one sentence is Jaylen Brown is straight vibing right now on that court. There's no other – better way to explain it, but the dude is straight vibing. And speaking of straight vibing, my co-host just joined me. Mr. Pavone, welcome to the show. What did you see in front of your two eyes tonight?
Well, what's going on, fellas? First and foremost, I have to say, it's been a while since all three of us have been have graced the CLNS airwaves real quick. Just, I've got to point out the obvious. But,
what's up, Joe Swain?
No, man, it's Joel, man. Wrong one. Wrong Pavone. Wrong Pavone.
Oh, my bad, Joel.
real quick, though, great win. I felt like, again, off to a slow start. But, Kemba Walker even addressed it during his little halftime interview with Abby Chindel on NBC Sports Boston, that he was frustrated that we gotta come out aggressive from the jump, and it can't be trying to climb out of holes. And in that second quarter, they ended the half on the I think it was like a 28-9 run. And
yeah, they crushed.
And then and then Jimmy Butler got it going before the third quarter ended. So they kept they were within striking distance of the Heat, but no one else from the Heat as they've been actually surprisingly doing well to start off the season, stepped up other than Jimmy Butler. So that's where the Celtics, their depth comes into play. Tatum didn't have the greatest shooting night, but he kept chipping away, and then Jaylen Brown, did his thing, and Kemba Walker was finding the open man and also finding his shot whenever he saw fit. So great win, great team win, even without Marcus Smart or Gordon Hayward in the lineup, and some good minutes for Robert Williams and for Grant Williams. And even Brad Wanamaker, who's been pretty solid coming off the bench for Brad Stevens. So yeah, great win, but again, another slow start. That's something that obviously they know that they need to work on, and they probably will, because they'll be at home for the next couple of games.
Absolutely. And to piggyback on that a little bit, Joel, I also felt that push in the first quarter, where it just felt like they were out of sorts. They just weren't firing on all cylinders. It almost seemed like, the absence of Marcus Smart was somewhat of a hindrance on this team. Slow start, that's the best way to put it. And Miami, at least so far this season, has been a team that has come out guns blazing from the jump. So I was nervous when I started seeing, I think it went, what did it go, like 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes before the first bucket was scored by either team. And then it just seemed like Miami had the momentum to start this. But then, to your point, the Celtics kind of, by the end of the first quarter, I think they were down 8. I think it was 20-28 at the end of one. And the Celtics seemed to be starting to find a rhythm. And then boy, did they turn it on in the second. I mean, they doubled Miami. It was 32-16. I wrote it down because I thought it was so important. And that really is what catapulted them going into the half and then coming out. And to your point, Jimmy Butler got boiling red hot in this game. And I kind of mentioned it in my opening monologue. Jimmy Butler is, would I want him on my team? Sure, he's such a pure scorer. Who wouldn't want this guy on your team? But, man, it's the little cheap stuff that he does that, at least to me in my fandom, it takes away from his overall game. And I'm sure, I could go back and forth with you, with Nick, with any of the callers who would tell me that, Jimmy Butler's cheap moves, his flops, his phantom fouls from behind the arc are all part of his, what makes Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler. But man, I'm not a huge fan of that part of his game, but his scoring ability with the ball, his court awareness it's lights out. It's phenomenal. So I thought, I thought Jimmy Butler had himself a great game tonight, but you did touch on a couple of the other players that, I wanted to get to tonight, like Grant Williams right off the top. I mean, he wasn't an offensive juggernaut tonight by any stretch, but he was solid. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He made the most of his time out there doing what he does. But I think the untold story tonight was Daniel Theis, 26 minutes, 8 points, 3 for 5 from the field. He did try that one 3-pointer that was way off the mark. but he had 9 boards. And of those 9, 8 of them were defensive rebounds. I thought Theis had himself a great game tonight. Just an overall complete good game from Daniel Theis. We kind of touched on Jaylen MF Brown, my new nickname for him. Kemba had a Kemba game, and I think that's what, I don't know if it's something that they can fix, and I'll try not to go on and on and on tonight. But with Kemba, I don't think it's something that this team can fix in regards to its slow start. It just seems like every time they get on the court, it's as if they have to feel each other out and understand who's going to be where when before they actually start clicking on all cylinders. But when they do, you know, there's no denying Kemba, 31 minutes, 28 points. You know, Nick touched on it. He was 9 for 17 from the floor, 6 from 11 from behind the arc, made all of his free throws like a good guy. And he had 7 assists on the night. Now, you know, I like Kemba Walker on this team more than I liked the other point guard that was on this team. And I'll tell you why. It's the ability to move the ball with plenty of time on the clock to allow the person receiving that pass to either make an additional pass or to make a move with the ball with plenty of time to actually work. And if you look at this season, over the course of these 15 wins, for the most part, this team has played with a different tempo. They've played with a different style. And I attribute a lot of that to the freeing of clock time, you know, of shot clock time with the ball in hand. I don't know if you or if Nick has noticed this too, but it just seems like when you're not holding the ball till 6 seconds left on the clock, you really do afford the other four players on the court to really make, you know, to go to work and to do what they do and showcase what they can showcase. We saw that with, you know, with Jaylen Brown tonight, Jason Tatum to an extent tonight as well. And even when, you know, you had the second crew in with Edwards and Ogilvy and Wanamaker and Williams, I thought that group actually had a really good flow tonight too. So, you know, my takeaway from tonight was great game. I know the excuse sayers in Florida are going to point to the fact that they were out. What was it? Drakic was out and Spoelstra was flying back to Miami for the birth of his second kid. So they were down, you know, they were down like that. They'll say that they didn't have their lead coach in there. They didn't have, you know, one of their better shooters in there outside of Butler. But at the end of the day, you didn't have Smart. You didn't have Hayward. And you rolled them at home. So my takeaway was, you know, good solid Eastern Conference win right there. That'll catapult the Celtics up in the standings for sure now. It puts them in the two spot. I mean, if you look across the line, it puts them in the two spot, three back from Milwaukee. And that's kind of where I think this team is trending right now.
Yeah, I mean – for the fact that, you know, the Celtics were missing two starters, and for the first time, I believe, this season, I'm pretty sure it's the first time, we saw Grant Williams get some starter minutes, get you know, we saw Stevens trust in him a little bit more than we have in the last few games, at least.
Yeah.
You can also point to the fact that they were pretty aggressive, I felt, more in the second half going to the hoop, because they got to the free throw line a lot more than they usually do, which is a good sign, because I feel like sometimes they'll be stuck in that, especially I felt like today with Tatum, at least he kind of got, you know, kind of fell back into old habits with the mid range and the three pointers. And I think he needs to realize, if he hasn't already, that when he drives, he's either going to score the 2 points or go to the free throw line or both.
Right.
So I think if he balance that out a little bit more, then I think his field goal percentage is going to go way up. I mean, not that I want to compare him with Jaylen Brown, because I think they're special in their own way, but Jaylen, for the most part, has been more efficient with his field goal percentage versus Tatum, because I feel like Tatum seems to, like I said, kind of fall back into old habits a little bit. At least in the last couple of games, I've noticed that. And Jaylen, he knows when to shoot and when to drive. And I feel like Tatum needs to, like, pick that up a little bit so that – and I get it, because the defense is probably – the opposing team is has Tatum probably at the top, if not – you know, near the top, or if not at the top, when it comes to their scouting report. So, you know, the defense is collapsing more on Tatum, or he seems to see double teams as well. But I feel like he's a strong guy, or he's getting stronger. And what is he, 6'7", 6'8", maybe even 6'9", that he can get to the hoop at will. So, I mean,
yeah, he's 6'8" on a good day. And
yeah, right.
And I think he's adjusting. I think the league has adjusted to Jason Tatum. And I think what we're seeing here, at least over the last couple of days, is Jason trying to kickstart his game so that he's vibing like I think that, you know, Jaylen's vibing right now. Because when I watched Jaylen Brown play tonight, it was hard to argue that he wasn't the best player on the floor at any given time. I mean, it was really a game between him and Jimmy Butler when you talk about your 1 and 1A for performances tonight. And I don't see that consistent flow, that consistent vibe from Tatum. I think he's still struggling for that identity. And it's because the league has adjusted to him. To your point, he's seeing a lot more of the double team. And that's forcing him to go back to, quote unquote, what used to work or what made me who I am now. And, you know, I was not thrilled with Jason Tatum's play after spending the summer with Kobe out in California. And I think it changed his game, and not for the better. And so I was kind of hoping coming into this year, we'd start seeing a little more refined Jason Tatum, a little more polished. And you're getting glimpses. And I think that when you have a Jason Tatum and you have a Jaylen Brown on the same team, it gives you that luxury of knowing that, hey, if one guy's got a sub 20 point night, the other guy's definitely going to throw heavy, you know, and it's vice versa. So they feed off of each other, and they're such different but similar players that it's kind of fun to watch. You know, it's one of those things where the development of those two people, and to Nick's point, you know, the next step is you lock up Tatum at the end of this year. And then you have a strong core. Yeah, you have an aging point guard, but you need a facilitator with the ball when you have shooters like those two, and you have Hayward as well back and healthy. That's where I think this team builds and puts down that foundation to scrub away the mental trauma I went through last year doing these post games and watching this team in and out.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's just I felt like during the 10-game winning streak for the Celtics, you saw a lot more of Tatum taking it to the hoop, getting to the free throw line. And then I think since then, you know, he kind of falls back into the mid-range, you know, three-pointers, stuff trying to, like, you know, climb out of these holes for the Celtics in general. But it's a learning process, and you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to figure it out. Hell, I mean, wasn't he just Player of the Week, Eastern Conference Player of the Week?
Oh, yes, he was.
He was something like not to crap on him. I'm not trying to crap on him. I just want him to have more of that killer instinct, I guess, so to speak, and just continue to grow as the you know, rising star that he is.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that we don't normally get to experience, and this is excellent, and Nick can attest to this when Nick's hosting as well, rarely is the board lit the F up, and tonight it is lit. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to toss to Nick real quick, and Nick, if you got anything to add, let's add it. Otherwise, let's start hitting these callers, guys. Let's see what people are thinking outside.
Yeah, just real quick, I wanted to throw a couple of things out there. One, to your point about Kemba Walker being the facilitator and getting the ball to players with enough time to actually do something with it. I think that's one of the significant major differences between a player like Kemba Walker, an unselfish player like Kemba Walker, a non-egotistical player like Kemba Walker, whose massive ego doesn't overshadow everything else, compared to the previous point guard that occupied the spot for a couple of years in
Boston. Who shall remain nameless tonight.
Who shall remain nameless, as always. I didn't even want to talk about him last season, but, you know, I was forced to temper my disdain. Hate is a strong word, but I really, really, really don't like that guy. So that's one of the biggest differences, is that you would get the previous point guard who would dribble the ball for a good, you know, 14 seconds, pound the ball for a good 14 seconds, try to make a move, and if he didn't have a move, he would either force something or he would kick out, and the other player would basically have to take a bailout shot. The person that received the pass would have to take a bailout shot. Kemba Walker is much more efficient, and I believe it's one of the callers that's on the line right now, a frequent caller, Isaiah in Jersey, who mentioned that Kemba Walker's game is much more tight. It's much more efficient. He doesn't waste a lot of time. A lot of the things that I think fans liked about the previous point guard, like all the jelly and all the moves and all the fancy dancing and stuff like that, it looks cool on an individual basis and as a basketball coach and middle school basketball coach myself, I see players, you know, that try to emulate that style and do a lot of dancing. All that jelly, but not much toast. You got to have the toast first. And Kemba Walker, he can do the jelly. I mean, I just watched some highlights from him at UConn several years back, and he was doing some pretty nasty things. He won the Big East conference title. That was one of the highlights that I was watching, with a dribble step back buzzer beater to win the game. Kemba Walker gets the ball to players when they can do something with it, and that's allowing guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to be effective. One last thing before you get to the call lines, because I know they're lit up, is some shameless self-promotion, but I want everybody to watch this video. It's about Jaylen Brown. You can go directly to the site. It's not my site. It's a Facebook page. It's B-Ball Breakdown, all one word, B-B-A-L-L Breakdown. But you can also find it on my Celtics fan page, which is Boston Celtics hyphen Bleed Green. I also have a group. I posted it in there as well. And it's all about breaking down Jaylen Brown's improved play this season and how much he's improved in his game. And the last thing I'll say about that is Jaylen Brown versus or compared to Jason Tatum, I don't feel there's any need to really compare them because they're both Celtics, and I think they should both stay Celtics for a long time. I think that's the future of this franchise. But I think you are beginning to see the difference in those two players that the extra year that Jaylen Brown has had, and also the pressure, the weight being taken off. Now he's making next year he'll be making $25 million a year, something like that, upwards of $20 million. That weight is taken off, and he knows that now he's not competing for minutes with anybody else. He is the shooting guard on this team, if you want to call it that. He is the smaller wing, the backcourt wing, that guy. He is that guy. And you can see where he knows his identity. He's developed his identity. Jason Tatum will get there, but as you stated, Jason Tatum hasn't quite figured it out. He's still falling back to certain things. Jaylen Brown has elevated Jason Tatum, and I don't want to put all the blame and all the negativity, but I think that, you know, the damage from the previous unnamed player, That's something that we're going to see for a little while. I think that it stunted the development a little bit of some of those young players, and I think it was more damaging probably to Jason Tatum because he was in his second year compared to Jaylen Brown, who was in his second and third year. Jason Tatum in his rookie year and in his second year compared to, you know, his third and now, I guess, our second and third year, now Jaylen Brown in his fourth year. So Jaylen Brown has had more seasons to play without the aforementioned previous point guard to develop his game, and he came out this year just blazing, you know what I mean, firing on all cylinders. His defense has improved. All of those things have improved, and I think you're seeing the difference of having Jaylen Brown now, not having had to have played his entire career, minus this season, with the aforementioned player, whereas Jason Tatum played his entire career with that other guy and really didn't get a chance to get his footing. And where I think at the beginning most people would say, I think when Jason Tatum first came into the league, I think 99% of Boston Celtics fans, or maybe a little bit less, 95%, would tell you Jason Tatum is the better player. I think right now, if you factor in the two-way factor, the defense that Jaylen Brown brings, I think Jaylen Brown right now is probably he's a more efficient player, probably a more versatile player. I think he's unquestionably he's a better defensive player. And that's not to say that Jason Tatum won't get there and possibly surpass him. I think Jason Tatum probably has more natural talent, but Jaylen Brown is more refined, and Jaylen Brown is just really getting it done right now, and I don't think that can be understated. Please check out B-Ball Breakdowns. It's a post that they made back from November. Please check it out and check out the analysis of how Jaylen Brown has improved this season, because it's incredible, and he's going to be the key, in my opinion, the key for the Boston Celtics this season. If he can continue to play like this consistently, the sky's the limit for the Boston Celtics. He is a legit player. He is a legit player. I'm going to say it again. He's legit.
Nice. All right. I can go with that, Nick. And as always, I want to thank Nick Sesento for calling in. Again, his basketball knowledge is unquestioned. His breakdown is unquestioned. And yes, if you get an opportunity, go to B-Ball Breakdown on Facebook. Also go to Boston Celtics Bleed Green. Give him a shout. Let him know you're listening. Let him know you're following. Always good content on both of those sites for you to digest and take a piece of. Now, for anybody who's just tuning in, just to summarize the show so far, your Boston Celtics from the TD Garden tonight throttle the Miami Heat 112-93 on the backs of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Kemba Walker, with a great host of characters that came out there to just play their roles tonight. I am Joe Show. I'm on with Joel Pavone. Looks like we have a couple of calls. I'd like to get to them. Joel, if you're cool with that too. And callers, I'm just going by hold time. So Isaiah, I am going to get to you. I promise. And right now, baby, you look like the finisher. You're going to come in like the Mariano Rivera closer of this show. But first, let's go way out 3,000 miles from the good coast of the East to the West Coast in California and see who we have on the line here. Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm just listening. Thank you.
Hey, no worries. Listening is half the battle. Paying attention is two-thirds of it. And hey, when you know Joel and Joe and Nick are on, it's always a good time to listen. But no worries, because all that means is it gets to Isaiah quicker. So I got a call. I got two calls in Jersey. I'm going to go to one first, and then Isaiah, you're right after. So my first caller in New Jersey, how are you tonight? Crickets. All right. I don't know. Joel, maybe it's me, or maybe this is just Isaiah's master plan to make sure he only has to wait like 7 or 8 minutes to get on when we're on. But I can't say enough good things about Isaiah. Isaiah, welcome to the show. Okay. So nobody's talking to us tonight, Joel. It's just you and me. We'll go back at it. If Isaiah kicks in, I'm sure Nick will jump in and let me know. But it's you and me right now, my man. Tonight, again, just to kind of recap, I thought you saw a really good game and I touched on this earlier, on Daniel Theis. Not that I expect a ton out of him each and every night. I like his role. Isaiah, are you with me, my man? Isaiah.
What's going on, man? How's everything?
Everything is more than okay and better because you're on now. Say hello to the great Joel Pavone.
Joel, my man, it's always good to talk to you, brother. How's everything?
I'm doing good, brother. How about you?
I'm all right,
man.
So,
Isaiah, what did you think tonight watching the Miami Heat fall to your Boston Celtics?
I thought it was a great effort by the guys, man. I really thought it was going to be a closer game, to be honest with you, especially with Marcus being down and all the injuries we had. I thought it was going to be a closer game. You know, we have similar records. They've been playing really good. I've caught a little bit of them on the league pass, and I thought they would have gave us a problem tonight, but it didn't turn out that way.
Well, I'll tell you, Isaiah, excuse me. I'll tell you, when the game started, it didn't look good. And I think Joel touched on it too. Slow start by the Celtics, abysmal start for Kemba in the first quarter. But man, did they turn it on in the second quarter. I don't know when exactly you peeked in, but they were down 8 after 1. And then they just poured it on. Celtics scored 32 points in the second quarter to Miami 16. So they crushed.
Yeah, tell me about it. They really, really cruised. In that second half, I thought that they turned up the intensity. And I thought Kimba talked about it a little bit before they went to halftime when he was with Abby. And he said they got to find a way to stop the slow starts that they're having. Because if you take those slow starts away, I mean, I know we've only have, 5 losses, but what would we look like if we took those slow starts away? I mean, that's pretty much the only Achilles heel that we have right now. But other than that, I think this team is cruising. They're playing really good ball. The chemistry with everybody is there. But it seems like we're saying the same thing after every Celtics win. It's just a well-oiled machine, guys that play hard and play for each other. The camaraderie is a lot better. The chemistry is showing. And not only that, it's what a Boston Celtics team is supposed to look like. It's what the fans that tune in expect to see. I hate to keep bringing it up. This is probably the last time I'm ever going to reference last year. But that's what we wanted to see last year. That's what we've been accustomed to seeing under Brad. And even as Danny's been the GM. We've expected to see a culture, a type of team that's going to be scrappy and represent the way the Boston fans feel. And this team is doing that on a night in and night out basis. Even when they lose, they're giving their all, they're giving their heart, and they're showing that they're a scrappy team as well as a talented team. So I think that we're sitting pretty. We're in the catbird seat. We've got a couple of injuries, and it still hasn't really affected us because we're in the top half of the league, and we're in the upper part of our conference. So if we can keep going until till we get to after Christmas, that January stretch, right before the All-Star game, if we could really keep this pace up, I mean, who knows what the season is going to look like on the second half.
Yeah, no, definitely. What was your favorite takeaway from tonight's win there?
Kind of what you guys were talking about. It was interesting to hear you guys comparing Jason and Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. The takeaway that I took are those two guys are special. I mean, I know we have some. I know we have some holes on the team, and we're not completely championship built and ready to contend. We're a little bit of an underdog with a puncher's chance, you know. But if we're going to be an underdog and if we're going to have a puncher's chance, I would much rather have, you know, Jalen be the left than Jason be the right. And so that because what they're doing and where they are and they're young, let's not forget how young these kids are in their young NBA career. I mean, just watching them play and develop is one thing. But watching them play and develop and win is something completely different. I'm totally satisfied with the product that they have on the floor. And like I stated in other calls, I just can't wait till the next game.
Yeah, definitely. A big difference from a season ago. And like you said, I agree with you with the when it comes to Tatum and Brown. Like, what better two, you know, young up and coming stars to have, you know, on the wings when you're Kemba or Smart or whoever coming down the court. Like, it's pick your poison with one of those two guys, right? So far, do you think?
Oh yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, their growth has just been accelerated ever since both of their first seasons. You know, they've always looked like they belong in the league. Their talent has always been, and their offensive gifts have always been highlighted and throughout the years that they've been with us. But to now see them approaching their prime and really settling in. Jason's, I heard you guys talk a little bit about how Jalen might be ahead of Jason. Well, he's supposed to be. He's got a year in already. He's got a year up on Jason, I should say. And he's supposed to look better than Jason. I mean, what did Jalen look like at the beginning of last year? He was lost in the role that Brad wanted to see him play, and he figured it out, as a fourth-year player should. Now he's in his fifth year, and Jalen's fourth year or fifth year?
This is his fourth year.
Yeah, this is his fourth year. This is Jalen's third year. So Jalen's Jason is right where he's supposed to be, and Jalen's right where he's supposed to be. They're both learning how to develop their offensive game in the middle of helping a team win and stay at the top of the conference. So, but if I did have to choose one of the two, I'm going Jason Tatum all day. I'm going with Jason Tatum all day. I'm taking the upside. And to be honest with you, I like Jason's defense a little better than JB's, because I think Jalen still has defensive lapses at times where when he's locked in, he's locked in. But he still has lapses at times on defense and also on offense. But, you know, that's something that you're going to have to deal with when it comes to Jalen. But I'd take Jason if I had to pick from the two. Fortunately for our Celtic fans, we get to watch both of them play every night and for the next, what, hopefully the next 10 years.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah,
maybe the
next 10 years. We'll see. But Isaiah, always, thank you for the call. Thank you for calling into the show. Joel, I don't know if Bobby told you, but we got royalty on the line with us tonight. I want to welcome to our show tonight a very special guest. We have Nikias Duncan on our show tonight. You've probably read him on SB Nation. You've read him on Bleacher Report. He has his ears, his eyes, his nose, and his brain on the NBA at all times. So, Nikias, welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you for the wonderful introduction. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. So, tonight, Boston Celtics roll the Heat, 112-93. Any takeaways you got from this game that you want to talk about, or individual players? Anything you got on the inside that you want to bring to the outside so we know what you might be thinking about?
I think coming into this game, especially since Miami was in Toronto and then also played an overtime game in Toronto, I kind of expected it's going to probably be a cold three-point shooting night. It's going to be tough to beat Boston on the road on the back-to-back. And it looked like they got just that. They started out hot, but the three started rolling for Boston, not so much for Miami outside of Jimmy Butler, who really had himself one heck of a game. But nothing surprising. I don't really have any major takeaways from that specific game. I think just in general, Miami had a successful road trip, getting a tough win against Toronto, getting a tough win against Brooklyn. Jimmy Butler obviously playing a big part in both of those, and he's continued that run. It's nice to see that he's finally starting to pick things up as a scorer.
Yeah, Jimmy had himself, and I started the show tonight talking about, you know, before I even talked about a Celtics player, I immediately went to Jimmy Butler because, first off, he had 37 points in 37 minutes. He was lights out from the floor. He was 12 for 18 from the floor, 6 for 10 from behind the arc. He just lit it up. And, he had 6 boards, 4 defensive, 2 offensive, 2 steals. I mean, his plus minus was a negative 13, but that's just indicative of the score and the sometimes just being a sacrifice of being out on the court at the wrong time. But, you know, in 37 minutes, he basically played wire to wire tonight. I thought Jimmy Butler had a raise your game type of game tonight and a truer return to form. Take it back to almost like his Minnesota time versus his Philly time, Jimmy Butler. And I thought you got a vintage game out of him tonight. I thought he looked comfortable. And I think we mentioned it in the screening room a little bit. He was doing a lot of the Jimmy Butler things that you know when he's vibing that he's on. So he's making the 4-point play from behind the arc because he's leaning in just enough to get the contact. He's flopping at just the right moment when he has to get the call. It was Jimmy Butler played himself a complete game tonight, and, you know, he should be proud of it. When he walks away and goes into the locker room, the score doesn't show that, you know, that his team was on top, but man, did he have himself a game tonight. It was fun to watch, actually.
Yeah, it's just a great development for Miami to see him really turn things around. He's been a lot more of a facilitator only this year. He's really been empowering the young guys, your Kendrick Nunn, your Duncan Robinson, your Tyler Heroes, Bam Adebayo. They have a great relationship on and off the court. But Jimmy Butler was brought in to kind of slam the door, and that's what we saw in Brooklyn. That's what we saw in Toronto. It's what he could have did tonight if anyone else showed up. But this is just the kind of talent that Jimmy Butler is, and Miami has been missing that over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and case in point there, I mean, your next closest scorer to Butler tonight was Olynyk. I mean, so that just proves your point. Nobody else really showed up tonight. Robinson had 10, Winslow had 10, Adebayo had 8, Nunn had 8, and then, you know, Hero only had 5 tonight, Myers Leonard was 3 points in his 20 minutes of play. So, you know, overall, to your point, nobody really showed up for Miami besides Butler. I thought you had a decent output night from Duncan Robinson overall. He had 5 boards, all defensive boards, 3 steals. He was 2 for 6 from behind the arc, 4 for 8 from the floor, 10 points over 28 minutes. So a decent, solid game from Robinson, but not the kind of game that would elevate to, you know, being a good, I don't know, co-conspirator with Butler in tonight's game. It just didn't materialize for Miami. And you had Spoelstra back in Miami for the birth of his second kid. So you had your assistant coach coaching. And I don't know how much of that makes a difference in a blowout win like this for the Celtics. But I think if the game was closer, we might have seen that missing Spoelstra magic during the timeouts and the play drops. I mean, just in my opinion, what was your take on the Spoelstra-lessness of the game?
Yeah, Dan Craig isn't going to be a guy that runs out onto the court quite like Spo does, and I think that he will probably miss that a little bit tonight. Didn't have that 6th defender out there. But, no, I think it's really just a matter of, I think, just different energy levels and obviously the outside shooting. Once you're flying in, you're coming in super late. Obviously, you don't want to take anything away from Boston because they're a really good team, and they just flat out outplayed Miami tonight. But I do think those kind of things factor in as well.
Nice. So when you look down the road at Miami, you know, just say the next week, 2 weeks down the road, what are you seeing? What are you looking for from them as somebody who watches, you know, this team rather closely? What does your crystal ball tell you for the next 10 to 14 days going into the holiday break?
Pretty up and down schedule. Obviously, have a game against Washington coming up. I think more than anything, we're going to see some fine tuning with the lineups and some fine tuning with the defense itself. Justice Winslow just recently got back from the concussion. He's played, I think, 5 games now. He's been coming off the bench in all of those. Typical Miami Heat fashion, Justice Winslow comes back, then Goran Dragic goes down with the groin injury. So it's just like they can't have their full assortment of talent and try to figure out what their best rotation is. But I think we're going to learn a lot about how Eric Spoelstra feels about Justice Winslow and his fit with the starters. We're going to see Justice needs to get his three-point shot back. I think that's going to be what unlocks the rest of it because he can get downhill. There have been some finishing issues so far, but I'm not too concerned about that. I think the spot-up shooting has to bounce back a little bit. He's tinkered with his form some. He's trying to speed up his release, which I think is going to bode well for him long-term. But right now, it's just kind of ugly. He had some really bad misses tonight. But that's something that he's going to have to sort through. And if he does sort through that, I'm wondering what that's going to look like for Kendrick Nunn, who has been Miami's starting point guard for most of the year. Maybe we finally see him hop into the starting lineup if he starts playing better than he has been. And as far as the defense, Miami obviously plays more of a dropping defensive scheme, and that hurts against pull-up threats like a team like Boston that has a Kemba Walker. Against Toronto, Kyle Lowry, even though Lowry was ice cold last night. Washington has been historically good offensively. They've also been a mess defensively, but that's the kind of game that Miami can get away with if they don't shore up the defense a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think another big point for them is their next 4 are at home. So a little bit of home cooking should help them out big time. As you pointed out, up and down schedule, you got the Wizards, the Bulls, the Hawks, and the Lakers over the course of the next 4 home games for the Miami Heat. Should be an interesting, you know, play out. That'll take them right into mid-December. Then they go back out on the roads for Dallas and Memphis and Philly. So then it gets a little challenging there going into the Christmas break. But, you know, to be honest with you, do I think that they're a 1-2 seed in the East? No, but do I think that they're a 3-4-5 seed in the East? I absolutely do. In fact, I think they're closer to the 3-4 than they are the 5 when I project out over the course of the year. The team has a solid makeup. It has definite role players. It has the ability, in my eyes, to really, you know, elevate and meet the competition level that comes into either their house or the house they're visiting. To your point, they're always, every team's going to get snake bit on the back half of a back-to-back, where you're going to have fresh legs to start. And then by the end of the first half, you're just dead. You're dead man walking. So if you don't have a quick lightning start and you haven't built yourself an 18-point lead to try to nurse for the third and the fourth, any team in the NBA typically suffers on the back half of a back-to-back. But it looks like when I look at them, the next time they have that happening to them is that Lakers game on the 13th, which is an ESPN game. And then on the 14th, they're in Dallas, but it's an 8:30 start. So, you know, hopefully they turn it, you know, they continue to grind and get through and continue to stay in that top 5.
Yes, sir. They definitely have the stuff. If they can stay relatively healthy, you know, the defensive foundation is there. You know, so I have some minor concerns about their drop coverage, but in general, Eric Spoelstra has instilled a culture there. They're gonna fight hard. They're gonna fight hard over screens. They're gonna make you feel it if you come to the paint. Anytime you can play Jimmy Butler, Justice Winslow, and Bam Adebayo together, it's gonna be tough to score. So I think that's gonna be there. If Jimmy Butler continues his stretch as a scorer and really kind of gets into his own there, I think Miami's going to have a good enough offense to keep them in games against anyone. So I think it's just important for them to continue building synergy.
Awesome. Joel, you got any thoughts on any of this?
Well, I had a quick question. I mean, they're off to a great start, 15-6. Were you surprised that this Heat team could start off, you know, as well as they have?
I'm not surprised at the end game. I did think they were going to be a 3-seed coming into the year, and that took me getting talked into a little bit. But once I really started thinking about the core, cleaning up some of the clutter over the offseason, have given Eric Spoelstra a team that he can really coach, I've kind of settled into Miami being the 3-seed this year. So I'm not surprised that they started out well. I'm surprised at how they started out well. Because I was thinking Jimmy Butler was going to come in and say, hey, this is my team. I made the right choice leaving Philly. I'm going to come in and get like 27-5-5 or something like that. And he kind of just fell into like a point guard role more so than a true number one option. And you have Kendrick Nunn, who's kind of come out of nowhere, after like 14 a night. Tyler Hero's been better than expected. Duncan Robinson's been better than expected. Bam Adebayo's taking the lead. So they've gotten contributions from a lot of players, and most of them no one really had any idea they could do so this year. So that's probably been the most surprising start of it all.
Interesting, yeah. I didn't think, you know, that they were going to start off this well. I figured they were going to be the type of team that they needed some time to gel. But I mean, off the bat, they've been you know, gelling pretty well. And you know, outside of being healthy, you know, in terms of Dragic and Waiters, I mean, those two coming back, that's going to be huge for the Heat, you know, going forward as the season goes on.
Awesome. Well, Nikias, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really do appreciate it and your insight. Hopefully we get a chance to match up again down the line and tap into your NBA knowledge specifically and centered around the Heat as well. Always a pleasure. If anybody has an opportunity to catch anything that this young man's doing, check it out on SB Nation, Bleacher Report. Nikias, why don't you plug whatever else you want to plug right now?
Well, you pretty much got the heavy hitters, Bleacher Report. SB Nation just had something drop on Andrew Wiggins a couple of days ago, so you can check that out. I'm doing game threads. I'll be threading Heat Celtics since I missed it. I'm pretty sure the Heat fans are not going to be a fan of that. But I'll be doing that. You can catch some of my Heat words at 5reasonsports.com. But those are going to be the three main spots there. You can obviously follow me on Twitter at Nikias NBA.
Awesome. And I will make sure that I get that follow as soon as we wrap up tonight. Nikias Duncan, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Really do appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you again down the line.
All right. No problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. All right. So there you got it. That was Nikias Duncan of SB Nation and Bleacher Report giving us his take from the Miami side of the field. And we kind of touched a little bit about on schedules. And just to kind of give you guys a heads up, for your Boston Celtics, because let's get this back to where this all begins, which is right here in Boston. Your Celtics have two upcoming home games. Next one will be Friday night. It's an ESPN game, 8 p.m. against the Denver Nuggets. Another good matchup for the Celtics. This is another team that's basically coasting and riding right now on a high. And then, you know, you get your sleeper game on Monday the 9th, again at home, 7:30 tip. That's against Cleveland Cavaliers, which are going in the opposite direction at a 5-15 record as of tonight. So looks like your next game Friday should be a decent one. Joel, you got any thoughts on the Nuggets so far this year?
I'm surprised that they're a good team. I'm not saying that I'm not taking anything away from them, but I'm surprised that they've maintained being, you know, a top two seed out West, considering, you know, the Clippers, the Rockets, and the Lakers. But they're right there, you know, trying to grab that top spot from the Lakers. And
I'll tell you, they're doing it the right way, because when you look at it, they're averaging 106 points per game, which is killer. They got a 13-5 record. Their field goal percentage, 44%. Their three-point percentage, 34.5%, which is a little low for a top-tier team like that. But they are just putting it together. And to your point, surprised in the West by a long shot. I don't think if you asked anybody going into the season where they thought the Denver Nuggets would be at the beginning of December, they'd tell you that they're going to be a top 1-2 seed in the West. But here they are, and they're balling right now. So, and this is a team, when I look at their home and aways, their splits, they win at home and they win on the road. They're 8-3 at home and 5-2 on the road. So this isn't a team that the Celtics can take lightly. They need to bring their game back. Hopefully Smart's recuperated enough by Friday to be able to be inserted back into the game. And, you know, with fingers crossed, the Celtics pull out yet another one and beat the Nuggets. I mean, that's obviously the goal going in.
they want to avenge that loss, you know, and I'm pretty sure Kemba Walker wants to prove that if he was, you know, playing in the first meeting, that, you know, it wouldn't have been, you know,
that easy of a victory for the Nuggets.
Right.
Even though they did, you know, the Celtics did come back in that game, but you know, that's under the circumstances that which the Kemba Walker was in, and the rest of the Celtics and that whole arena had to witness. You know, it was still ended up being a good game towards the end. There,
absolutely,
so.
And you know, like any battle, I always want to go to battle with, you know, a full clip in my magazine before I shoot up it on the battlefield. I can't give me a magazine that's missing three or four bullets and expect me to have a decent chance. And, you know, that's basically what the Celtics ran into the first time through. And hopefully, you know, like we said, Friday night, things are a little bit different. You got the home unbeaten streak on the line Friday night. Your Celtics are now 8-0 at home, and they'll be putting that to the test Friday night against the Denver Nuggets. It should be an interesting setup all around, if you ask me. And, you know,
hey.
Another takeaway from tonight would have been, you know, just again, just to recap, because we've been kind of recapping throughout the night. Celtics win big tonight, 112-93 over the Miami Heat. Two really hot teams were matching up. And, you know, Nekias kind of mentioned it. It was the back half of a back-to-back for Miami. So, you know, that quick start and then the fizzle is indicative of an NBA regular season schedule. I mean, it just happens that way. But there will be another opportunity to play Miami in the future. And when the Celtics do, hopefully, you know, they have a full complement of players. Hopefully Miami has a full complement of players. And we can put these two, you know, early season juggernauts head-to-head against each other and see what comes out. I mean, I'd love to see the Celtics with Hayward back, with Smart back, healthy, going up against, you know, and you alluded to it with your Heat injuries of Okpala and Drakić coming back. You know, having both of those guys back into the mix would be nice. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I want to thank you, Joel, for joining me tonight. It was another good show by you and I, because, you know, that's what we do when they put the A team together. You don't get crap. And I want to thank everybody and let them know that tonight's episode was brought to you by HelloFresh. It's America's number one meal kit. You can get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80. And enter CLNS80 as your code to get $80 off your first month. I've used HelloFresh in the past, and it is phenomenal. I mean, you know, if you're a busy professional, if you're a single person, even if you're a dink, and that's double income, no kids. That's such a boomer joke. Anywho, I'll tell you, it's good for boomers, it's good for Zoomers, it's good for Gen Xers and millennials. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Check it out. It's super easy. And like I said, they give you everything pre-measured. All you have to do is follow the directions. You end up with a restaurant quality meal at your house. Don't forget to go to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80 and enter CLNS80 to get the discount. For Joel Pavone, I am Joe Show. Thank you so much for tuning in to CLNS Media's Celtics Post Game Live. Celtics win big, 112-93 over the Miami Heat tonight at the Boston Garden. Make sure to tune in on Friday, immediately following the game, to get your next post game with whoever Bobby Manning puts at the helm. It's always a good show. Doesn't matter if it's Joel and I, we're just, you know, really good at what we do. But doesn't matter who the hosts are, you're always going to get a great show. That game is on ESPN. Don't forget to check in. Again, for Joel Pavone, I am Joe Show. Have a great night. Thanks.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company.
That
Boston
was pretty
Barber
good,
Tattoo
my man.
Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
And listen, before we completely get off this entirely, I have one major plug to throw out there because I listen to it. You should listen to it too. It's the Causeway Street Podcast. It's Joel and Joe Sway talking Celtics. It is phenomenal. You can catch it on iTunes, and I'm sure you can find them wherever you digest podcasts. I catch them on iTunes. It is the Causeway Street Podcast, Joel and Josue. It is phenomenal. Check it out. Again, thanks for listening tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a great one. We'll see you. I'm trying to find some good music to kick us out with. I'll go with this.
It's completely disgraceful. It's disgusting.